It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, Jet Lacy on the board, Mike Duggar and Barry Hess in studio. Last hour talking about various things. After this segment, we'll get into predictions for the future, and you can start writing down these and see how accurate we are. And all the other guys, I mean, they're giving you the wishfuls we want and it should and better happen. We just go, look, we know what's going to happen, and we're going to tell you. We're preparing for it. How much food you got? You know, I mean, did you stock up on ammo when it was available? Did you buy your ARs and AKs before Obama's election? Or you didn't? Yeah. Smart guy now, huh? You know, well, you know you wish you did, because now it's going to keep getting worse, and it's going to get a lot worse than people anticipate. Now, before we went to the break, Mike, you wanted to specify something on the gun issue we were talking about.
Oh, I was just going to say that part of those ATF regulations were some of the excuse that they used for going into Waco, and which, of course, ultimately led to the deaths of over 80 people. They do enforce their arbitrary regulations, and they do at times enforce them very selectively as an excuse for whatever their real agenda might be.
Now, you make enough laws, everybody's a criminal.
Okay? Everybody.
And they want you, you're criminal, because they'll just, well, let's see, what can we get on them? Oh, I got to tell you this story. In a short segment, I can tell you this story. I saw this old, it was a TV program, and it had to be in the early 60s, late 50s. And they had a guy, and it was an enormous amount of money back then, $1,000, $5,000. This guy was going to get, if he could go 24 hours without breaking the law. They just, we're going to do a test. If you come back here tomorrow evening, and we'll have this guy go with you in a camera crew and all this kind of stuff, which is a big deal having a camera crew back then. You know, they said, you can go 24 hours without breaking the law. Boom, you get this big chunk of money. Absolutely, man. Guy's all proud of himself. Man, I just got me some cash. Well, if I was him, man, I would have just gone and I don't know what you could have done without breaking the law. Go sit. You can't go just sit on the sidewalk. You can't just walk down the street. You can't. He didn't make it out of the door. This is what happened. He goes out and he pulls a pack of cigarettes out of his shirt pocket, and he opens the pack of cigarettes and throws the wrapper in the trash or something. They go, boom, you lose. He goes, what? Because the law is that little stamp, that tax stamp that's on the bottom of the package of cigarettes. The law is you have to destroy that stamp. He didn't destroy the stamp. Lawbreaker! I'm going, can you imagine how mad he must have been? I'd be like, oh, man, that's a tooth chipper from grinding your teeth on that one. So I just, this is how government operates. Yeah. It's all selective, and they got enough. They're going to get you. They're just going to get you. Now, when we come back in the next segment, we're going to start getting in the news of the day. I mean, we have the stock market jumping almost 150 points already. You know, it's up over 9,400. 9,400. That's, what, 1,500 points in the last month or so? I mean, just stupid. Then you have gold still holding its own. I mean, it was getting up, $9.50, $60, $70, around there. Silver broke $15. It's kind of, and then they beat it back down a little bit, and it's going wild swings. Why? What was the fundamental basis for any of this? It's telling there's something coming. Are you ready? But when we come back, we'll get into the predictions and things that, if we're right, you can't be ready enough. And we're always right. We'll be right back on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, in just a little bit.
Oh, come on!
It's time to declare your independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443. And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock. Jet Lacy on the board, Barry Hess, Mike Duggar in studio. It's time for predictions. Now, you get that, you know, you can make your own predictions if you want, but better yet, you can give us the issues by which you want us to make predictions about. You know, 1-800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. Friday, I am more, we're going to set up the show, I'm more amenable to taking calls. Rest of the week, a lot of times, we have guests, and there's a lot of information we want to get out. This is how we've been doing the show since February of 03. You know, what happens is we'll spend an entire, at least an hour to 2 hours on a single subject. Not all the time with the same guest, but there's certainly a subject. Because when you tune into that show, you're going to, you look in the archive, I'm going to learn everything there is to know about fill-in-the-blank reason or issue. So, this is how we do it. And if you're on topic, fine, you know, knock yourself out. But a lot of times you just want to yak on about what you want to yak on. Well, today's the day. On Friday, you want to have a prediction on something or you want us to give one, you are free to call in 800-313-9443. Make it quick because we got plenty to talk about ourselves. Now, what are some of the issues that we may, you know, want? We'll do top of the news, you know, stuff that's going on because we got, you know, foreign policy stuff. You know, this war thing, how's that going? You know, we got the health care issue. We got, you know, when the economy takes a dump. You know, I saw we have one of the graphics on one of the stories we had on Freedom's Phoenix today, and it said, the Depression, now in color. So you had it's all black and white photos of all the Depression. Well, now we get color photographs. Right. It's going to be the Depression in color.
What are they doing the next one, 3D?
3D, holographics.
Holographics.
You know, that was another thing. We cover a lot of technology issues, too. In fact, in January, I'll be going to the Las Vegas big Uber tech, you know, conference that they have there, convention. And that's going to be very interesting because they got now holographic 3D projection. I mean, you can sit there and go. You ever watch the movie Iron Man when he's, like, building his suit and 3D of different components of it and so on? They have that now. You know, this is – you have no idea what's come technology. Alien technology. They got from somewhere. You know, I tell you, old DARPA's back there sitting on all kinds of goodies. You know, our gilded cage is all kind of gold and fluffy and got velvet, you know. But, you know, it's going to be a cage, and it's going to keep getting smaller, and it's going to have less and less gold. And so now let's talk about health care. This health care issue is a distraction of the nth degree. It's the same thing as Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security. It's just going to be another excuse to take more of your money for a perceived benefit. They're going to put it in another big pile and do whatever they're going to do. They're going to steal is what they're going to do. But the thing is, they have to give this perception. They don't want an outright revolution is where it's getting to. Now, we had Jet has an article that we've yet to put up. I haven't read it yet. He's telling me about it. When Shelton went yesterday or the day before, they went to Yuma for Pastor Anderson's court hearing. They're in a restaurant, and he sees two border guards come in. And, you know, Shelton, he can't help himself. He grabs the camera. He goes up to these, got your ID on you? where are you traveling? Where are you going after this? What are you doing? I mean, he's just right. They're sitting there eating. He's doing this. And I'm going, you know, that is so appropriate. But inappropriate because you're in a public restaurant, you know, these guys are off, you know, is that really the right time? And the thing is, remember, Mike, you remember when you and I were going against Bank One Ballpark and El Chase Ballpark, a big baseball stadium, hundreds of millions of dollars, they're ripping everybody off. And we're going back and forth, lawsuits and everything against the man on this. And the one thing that we started to realize, until the people that are doing this feel pain, until when they're at the grocery store checkout line, you know, and people are going, boo, hiss, you know, whatever, you know, until that happens, they feel no pain. There's nothing. You know, the media will come out and say how great and wonderful they are. They're just this one radical. Until you have the masses that are just, you know, it's like having Border Patrol. You know, he might as well just be wearing a swastika on his uniform. Mm-hmm. You know, until that happens, you're not going to see the kind of change. Now, what I'm sure Jet would argue, and I have to agree, I mean, there's a, you know, can you be in the right in somebody's restaurant? Can you be in? Come on in, Jet. You know, I'd like to get your perspective on this. Can you do this and maintain the moral high ground? You know, so Jet, tell me, what was your opinion on this?
My opinion is, according to libertarian principles, you know, someone's business is their property. And you don't really have a right to interfere with someone's property during the operation of their business. And by accosting someone's customer, you know, if the management or the owner allows that to go on, maybe that customer won't come back again. And that could lose them business. So, therefore, someone shouldn't be accosting someone in a restaurant.
Go ahead, Mike.
I think your point is well taken, but you also need to point out that accosting is quite okay right up until the point of the objection of the proprietor. If you see a Border Patrol agent or any government agent, and you right up to the postman, and you want to give them a bad time, or I don't think that Sheldon was necessarily giving them a bad time. He was just kind of giving them back what they give to travelers. But you go right ahead and do that right up to the point where the proprietor of the establishment or his representative, manager, whatever, comes up and says, I don't want you bothering my customers. Then you go back and say, very well, and you quietly go sit.
Now, what about the customer? What about the border agent? He goes, you know, there was a point in there where he said, you know, they were kind of smiling. Oh, yeah, I see what you're doing. And there was a one point in there. I saw the clip. It's only like 40 seconds. And everyone, you know, can I just eat my meal? You know, so right then, I mean, he didn't really say leave, but had the person said, look, you know, leave me alone. But then the point is, you know, they don't leave you alone.
The point is, can I, when they pulled me over on the side of the road and they say, I want to see your ID. And you say, well, can I just get on along with my trip? And instead they take him out and you shove your face in a glass and beat the snot out of you and taser you and everything else. I don't think the Border Patrol agents got off so bad in the restaurant.
Yeah, so see, I understand. Yeah, Jet, you know, you're right. I mean, you know, but this is where you start to see the line being crossed. It's going to start getting to the point where the people are going to act out. It is inevitable. It always happens. Who's in the right? Who's in the wrong? Now, if they had swastikas on their arm, would it have been okay then? Well, then you got, like you're saying, you go back to principles. You know, whose place of business is it? When can you do it? Do you have to wait? Do you do it outside in the parking lot? Do you do it on the road? Where do you do it that's not someplace that's appropriate to do it? The only place that's appropriate to do it is when they have all the guns, they have all the power, you're at their checkpoint, they're bugging you, and you resist, and they taser you and beat the snot out of you.
But the right to swing your fist ends where the other person's nose begins. And it's the same thing. The right for you to say whatever you want and accost whoever you want ends where someone else's property begins.
And that's, you know, and that's why he's charged with disorderly conduct. And he's going to go to court and we'll have this very discussion. It'll be very interesting
because
the discussion should be, well, where's their jurisdiction then? You know, and I'm on the public roadway and we just got a ruling from the Ninth Circuit in favor of Terry Bressey, you know, saying you don't have jurisdiction in this one limited itty bitty teeny. They really narrowly, you know, he won, but barely, you know. So it's interesting. I just see it as a prediction. I predict this. This is just the beginning. You will have very overt, very well publicized acting out of individual citizens. And you remember, Mike, when we had the Bank One ballpark issue going up, there was a gentleman that just, you know, had his fill. He went down to the Maricopa County supervisors and he shot Mary Rose Wilcox, a supervisor, in the butt. Now, the jokes went around, you know, she needed a brain surgeon and all this other stuff. But the thing is that you had this gentleman, he's, Bank One ballpark, you bunch of scum, dip, 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 boom, shoots her in the butt. Now, you know, was that appropriate? The boy did some time. You know, I wonder where that guy is now. But anyway, but the thing is, he's crazy. And they just kind of went, yeah, he's yelling something about the Bank One ballpark. Well, then what was interesting is there was a gentleman that was a columnist for the New Times, which is a weekly newspaper here. He had just come from Scotland, where they had, you know, Braveheart had just been going out and big deal, and they got their own parliament then. There's a big upright. We needed representation and government bad. And he's got all kinds of people getting shot in the butt all over back there. He comes here, I love America. And then all of a sudden, people are shooting politicians. He's like, what the heck, man? I just left this. And he goes, why? And they wouldn't tell him. He's going, what is he talking about this? They wouldn't tell him. And he's a real heavy accent. Oh, what you know, I can't even do a Scottish accent. But the point is that finally one of the editors goes to him and he goes, Ernest Hancock. He goes, what? I never said that. You want to know something, Ernest Hancock? I never said it, okay? And he's like, what the heck? So he looks me up, he calls me, and he goes, for a week I've been trying to find out. What do you know? I go, let me tell you a story. So I told him about everything, and this was the quote that he used that was the most pertinent in the article. And I made this analogy. They're mine canaries. When miners would take these little canaries into the mine, and when the methane would get too high, the air would get bad. The canary, you know, flops over. They didn't have high-tech sensors and anything. So if you're down in the mine and canaries are dying, it's time to get out, okay? Yep. So they would leave. Well, that's what these people are. They're mine canaries. You know, Shelton's a mine canary. You know, these people are mine. There are warnings of what is to come. You want to know what I predict? I predict an individual actions that will continue to accelerate in number and frequency and intensity, acting out against federal agents in uniform. That is my prediction for that. Real quick, going up on the break here, Mike, what's your prediction?
My first prediction will be that this current health care push that the Dems are and Obama administration are working so hard on is going to cause at least a huge backlash in the 2010 elections and on into 2012. It's just going to be a replay of the Clinton administration after their first 2 and 4 years in office.
Absolutely. Well, what I've seen, this is Barry, on the health care is you've seen the changing in the terminology from the administration. It's gone from making health care available to everyone to affordable to everyone.
Yeah, we're going to talk about what that means, too. We know the doublespeak. We'll be right back on Declare Your Independence.
And those that just won't leave them alone, which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
You gotta fight the powers that be. Got so many voices. Sit on the scene.
Yeah, so many voices. How do you know which one to listen to? Can you kind of decipher them all in the one kind of little message? Is there noise out there that you can decipher? And who's going to decipher it for you? Fox News. They'll tell me the truth. You know. So this is what I want to do. We'll go ahead and start taking calls this hour if you want. You know, 800-313-9443. Now, we're making future predictions. I'll let you go on, and we're going to use your comments as, fodder for us to do what we want to do. But, be interesting, be brief. Now, first, I want to let Barry finish his thought as we went into the break last. He was talking about healthcare or something.
Healthcare. Yeah, I've noticed that the administration has changed its big push from saying that they want to make healthcare available to all Americans to now they want to make it affordable to every American. And I think that's really telling in what's going on. You're seeing a lot of retrenching. I predict that what's going to happen with the whole health care 1,200-page bill is someone is going to introduce the ideas, let's say an honest socialist. I know it's an oxymoron, but if there were an honest socialist and they wanted to bring health care to everyone and make up the deficiencies, they would simply say, okay, we're going to pay for all prescriptions and we're going to pay for all tests. That's the only thing that an honest socialist might say. Well, I think that that's going to destroy the whole argument and it's going to go down in flames just like Hillary Care did back in the day.
This is my prediction on health care. I guarantee you there's a bucket of money created somewhere.
Absolutely.
They'll call it whatever. They'll, give you, okay, you get to pick or you don't get to pick. Bottom line, there is going to be some kind of diversion of your resources into a health care bucket. and then they're going to take the bucket. That's just another bucket for them to take the money from. Guaranteed. Okay, mm-hmm. What is the prediction? Ernie says, healthcare bucket somewhere. I don't care what they call it. I don't care how they couch it. It always comes down to a bucket of money that's diverted over somewhere for them to get access to. Guarantee it. That's my prediction. And it's going to be – it keeps getting a bigger bucket. Mm-hmm. It's going to be increased percentages. Because, like, Social Security was what? 1% of, you know, income tax, you know, 1%. We're going to do just a little bit and trust fund and pinky swear and all this other stuff. They're going to create a bucket and put more of your money in. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, it's a bank robbery. That's all it is. Okay, let's go ahead and go to the phones. Kay in California. Go ahead, Kay.
Hi. I have a question. And when you said you could ask any questions.
Go for it. You're wasting time.
Okay.
Do it.
So it's about Thomas Jefferson. And I was wondering, I've always learned that Thomas Jefferson and the Founding Fathers abhorred a democracy. They wanted a republic. And yet you hear talk of Thomas Jeffersonian democracy. What is that?
I don't know, whatever they tell you it is. If you look at Thomas Jefferson's writings, what happened was he is very, very much a no-government kind of guy. He was very much, you know, he's like, no, this pomp and circumstance that you guys started in the first couple of administrations, I come in, I'm answering the White House front door in my slippers, okay? I'll take care of it. This whole big, giant elite mentality that you had was exactly what he was against. And the best way to defend against that was this Republican form of government that is representative by, I'll give you an example. This is how I believe him to have described it. You have the Democratic part that elects the Republic part that is bound down by the chains of the Constitution part, okay? So, yes, there's the Democratic component to electing representatives, but there was very limited power that they had to do anything. But the fact that you even created it allowed a mechanism by which they got to determine themselves as a government what was and was not appropriate under the Constitution, the Supreme Court. They will do whatever, and then they'll say, yeah, that's constitutional because. And I've had Congressman Shattuck made this argument to me in the 90s. When I ran against him 3 times. It's because he keeps doing stupid stuff, yep, like national socialization of the economy, which is not fascist if he does it, you know, John S.S. Shattuck. Now, what happens is he goes, well, you know, we pass that's up for the courts to determine. Yeah. But it's law until the Supreme Court strikes it down however many years later and they screwed you. So my thing is Jefferson, I'm... You know, I never really got the idea that he was any more democratic than people get to make their own decisions. Go ahead, right, Mike.
I just wanted to make a comment about Shattuck's position, and that is, doesn't he take an oath to uphold the Constitution? Isn't it his responsibility to consider the Constitution?
It's constitutional if the Supreme Court says it is, and it's constitutional
until
they
say
it's not.
That's called passing the buck. I'm saying it's John Shattuck's responsibility to make that determination.
No, but that's their argument. I know. You think they care?
You know, it's funny, the Jefferson, I think one of his great quotes was that he called democracy the most vile and vulgar form of government. So as a totalitarian situation where we live under a democracy, that was what they didn't want. But Ernie is absolutely on point in saying there's a democratic component. That's just a majority rule component to within the constraints of the Constitution and the confines of the Republic.
You know, one thing, okay, I had a gentleman on that wrote a book, you know, and at another station, the Jefferson Letters, and I can't remember the name of the book, but it was all like tens of thousands. I mean, I think it was 20-something thousand letters that he had written. I mean, he was very prolific, and he did it on purpose.
They didn't have email.
Yeah, no, he did it on purpose. He definitely wanted to make sure that his mind got out on paper, and he was very left, you know, because he had the same concept that you did. Oh, it's a Democrat kind of thing, you know. So he was definitely from left perspective, and even though he picked and chose the ones that he wanted, you know, he couldn't make the argument that the guy was for government. But he tried, and we had him on. And if you go to my archive for Ernest Hancock, you'll get to listen to that. Well, we'll come back here in just a little bit, and we'll talk about our predictions a little bit more on Declare Your Independence in just a little bit.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443.
music run a little bit. It's cool. Good job, Jen. You know, Ernest Hancock here on Declare Your Independence, and with, in studio with me is Mike Duggar and Barry Hess. Now, Mike had, after Kay had prompted the discussion about Jeffersonian democracy, whatever the heck that is, you know, Mike, you know, he's always got good stuff off air, you know. Now, let's go ahead and repeat it. You know, go ahead and tell the people.
I just wanted to make a point that, seems to seldom get made in these type of discussions. And that is the kind of the death knell of the Republic. And one of the major stakes through the heart of the Republic as it was originally conceived by the founders was the 17th Amendment, where they took the power of the states, the state legislatures, who elected the senators to go represent the states and states' interests in Washington. And they made it an election by popular election like the House of Representatives. And the House of Representatives were originally conceived as our representatives in Washington, the people's representatives. That's why it was created the way it was. There were three entities here. There was the federal government as an agent of the states themselves represented by the U.S. Senate, which were elected by their state legislatures, and the House of Representatives, which was represented the people. So now, instead of having the Republic as it was originally envisioned, you have basically just rank democracy, which, you know, a lot of people have described as two wolves and a sheep discussing what they're going to have for lunch. And that was one of the fears that the founders had of democracy, is that it would degrade into that.
You know, and it's a perfect example when you have an appointment of a Supreme Court justice with Sotomayor. Very anti-gun. You know, a lot of other things that you would find that the people may not like. And the states had their opinion. So it's the senators that approve that. So where are the states represented? It's in the Senate. It was in the Senate. And now they don't have any say. It's all this popular Fox News propaganda thing. You know, go ahead, Bear.
That's why you have all the crazy people we have in the Senate. I mean, that's why you have John McCain in the Senate. He doesn't represent the people of Arizona. He represents John McCain as someone who was directly elected. It's sick when you think about it. If you're trying to set up a republic, we are devolving into a democracy, and that's a scary situation. But the good news is they always fall apart, because democracy is socialism. Socialism, 92 times been tried historically, 92 times collapsed.
Yeah, but somebody got rich.
Somebody got rich along the way, no doubt about it.
Lots of buckets of money for somebody to have. Now, these are the predictions that I want to make. You know, and there's a lot. We talked about a lot of things today. But, you know, I'll give you three things that I think are going to be the most dramatic here in the near future. One, no matter what they call it, they're going to create health care buckets of money. They're going to divert income, resources, whatever, to some group invested in pile, collectivist money sitting there somewhere that somebody's going to get their hands on to guarantee it. Years later, you're going to find out how much they ripped us off, but it's because they got, you know, it's like the bank robbers say, why you rob banks? Because that's where the money is, okay? Well, they're just going to create another place where the money is. So healthcare money bucket, you're going to lose more of your money. And you're not going to get the services that they promise, because, you know, you do better off in the free market because it's your money and you're doing whatever. And that's what regulation and monopoly on use of technology and abilities and licensing and all that kind of stuff. Who do you think it is that says you can't get a brain operation from a 16-year-old? Right. Or somebody says you can't. You know, it should be me. If you're dumb enough to get a 16-year-old give you brain surgery, then you probably deserve brain surgery by a 16-year-old. But the thing is I want the freedom to get on, you know, fly and die airlines, and if I forget my 9mm, they give me one, okay? I mean, I need these kinds of freedoms because I make the decision. And as a group, you want to talk about a collectivist mentality, what happens if we all just collectively get to make our own decisions? Well, then you have all this diversity of opportunity out there that the free market provides you with all kinds of choices. You want that freedom. You want the freedom to be stupid. Go ahead, be stupid. But I want the freedom not be stupid. I don't want the government to find, you know, giving me my stupid choice. You know, that's the last people I want giving me my choice. Now, what's going to follow this healthcare money bucket is going to be another bailout. There is no way of getting around it. They have to do some kind of save the planet infusion of whatever, and they'll couch that around probably the destruction of the dollar. We're going to go into some world currency that we're going to revalue to yada yada. We're going to have to save the planet. We're going to need to, you know, come together, kumbaya, and we're all one world government, and maybe throw in some alien threat there from alphas and what you call it. You know, there'd be something, you know, Golden Gate Bridge toast, St. Louis Arch nuked. I mean, something. They're going to have to do something. And then it's going to be the impetus for us to become under this one world kind of thing, because they're doing it economically already. So we have healthcare money bucket. We have here comes another bailout that will be immediately followed by and accompanied with the demise of the U.S. dollar. Now, a lot of people would argue it's already done. It's gone. That's already happened. Well, I'm saying there's going to be a tombstone. There's going to be a memorial service, okay? There's going to be, we used to know ye. You know, we're so sorry you're gone, and now we're something else. Now, these are my three predictions. Now, when will this happen? Before 2010 elections, okay? This is they're not going to be able to hold this off. I'm amazed right. They held, you know, it off as long as they did. They tried to hold this last bailout and the collapse then before the until after the elections, or did they time it? They wanted it right before the elections. I mean, it's all, I guarantee, whatever happened, somebody had planned that way. So I'm looking at this. Three things Ernie's saying. Healthcare money bucket created, which is going to get looted, just like all the other government programs. Another bailout. It's going to be huge, okay, accompanied with a memorial service for the U.S. dollar. What do you think, Mike? What do you got to come up with?
Well, I have a prediction that goes along with your memorial service, because I think that we're fast approaching, by the end of the federal fiscal year here at the end of September, a dollar crisis, if not the demise of the dollar. And the what's bringing it about is the fact that the federal government is, of course, trying to borrow all this money to finance all these programs and bailouts and blah, 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 whatever they come up with. And the lenders are no longer there. The Chinese are saying, nope, we got our fill. We got all your debt that we need. We're trying to figure out some dummy that could take it off our hands, as a matter of fact, if you want to get right down to it. And at some point, they're not going to be able to finance that debt. They're going to be in the same position that Chrysler was and GM was back in the spring. They're bankrupt. They can't finance their debt. They're going to have to either renounce the debt or monetize the debt, which is going to bring about hyperinflation. I won't make a prediction as to which is going to happen there, but I do know that indications are now that they are trying to monetize as much of that debt, or all that debt that isn't being bought in the markets. They're monetizing kind
of. Define monetizing. I hear that word a lot, but
monetizing merely means that the Fed says, okay, we'll take that debt off your hands and we'll print these dollars and put them into circulation to pay for it.
Making
all the other dollars worth less.
Until they're
worthless.
Go ahead, Barry. What's your prediction?
Well, I've got a couple on the health care. I'm going to say that it's going to get so bad, people are not going to get the health care they want in a practical sense. That's exactly what they need. So we're going to see the rise of medical tourism. It's already happening. There are going to be little enclaves like Costa Rica. I'm certain that's going to be one of them, where you have American-trained doctors, brand-new equipment, super accommodations for people, and real low, low prices. People like little old ladies going to Atlantic City, you're going to find buses or plane loads of people going down to Costa Rica.
You know, that's already happening in
India
and so on. I mean, it's like you take a surgery vacation.
Exactly.
You know, you go in a nice hotel room, recovery, and get foot massages all day. I mean, you know, this is happening now.
Right now. It's going to get huge. It's going to become the norm.
You know, I think it's going to get more regulated, though.
Oh, they're going to try, but then you're seeing a lot more resistance in people, and that goes along with my second one, was on the tea parties that are going on, and I love to see the frequency of these things picking up, but like we were discussing earlier, nothing is going to happen. Nothing is going to come from these people getting together, screaming and yelling, hey, we only want you to steal a nickel from me rather than a dime. No, there's no moral applicability there until they get to the point of saying, we are not accepting your taxation at all. The tea parties will be absolutely worthless, along with the old media, of course. That's breaking down. We're seeing that. We're part of it right here. And finally, my last prediction would be that I do believe, and I'm going to stick with it, the end of this month, we'll see the Dow at 7,000 or below.
You know, one thing I will eventually, I don't know when it's going to happen, but gold and the Dow are going to meet. But that's only if you have the same Dow. It's only 30 stocks, and they keep changing them.
They do.
You know, I mean, heck, they took GM off, I think, you know. That helped it go up. Government Motors. What were you going to say, Mike?
Well, let me just finish the one comment about the economy is that the dollar is at that Wile E. Coyote moment when he runs out of ground running over the cliff and he's suspended for a moment. Nobody knows why, but there he is. And then suddenly the realization. And I think that's what we're going to see of the dollar.
Yeah, he's got a sign that says, yikes.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mike, what are you going to say about the Tea Party?
I think what we'll see grow from the Tea Party moves, and we'll see it here fairly soon, is right now it's kind of amorphous. It's just an undefined discontent. You know, the people got a lot of different complaints, but it's not very directed. It's just very, we're unhappy, and we're here to tell you how
they
unhappy
got bullet,
we
cause
are.
They're, and what they're unhappy
gonna,
is some bullet
what
point
you're
they
you're
going to
see
somewhere.
Come out of that is the 2010 version of 94's contract with America. The Republicans are going to come up with this, their deal for the next elections to go up against Obama as they did against Clinton in 2004.
How do you think the people respond to that?
I hope that they recognize it for what it is. And, you know, it's just political theater and nothing of real consequence relative to our freedom and the expansion of our freedom will come of it. Because obviously, if you look at what happened with the Republicans, there was no expansion of our freedom. The best that could be said is we treaded water in some areas, such as gun control. But there
you
was
know,
no
one thing they always do, they go, oh, well, we'll have gridlock. You know, if you got Republicans here and Democrats there and administration different, we'll have gridlock. And we're sitting around going,
yay.
Yeah, good. You know, that's the best thing ever was. You know, you can't get anything done. I vote gridlock. So the contract with America, I remember, you know, we're just getting heavily active. We're young men, you know, we're in our 20s and early 30s, and we're at it, and we're all, you know, paying attention to everything. And just like these young revolutionaries are now, you know, they know when they're being snowed. It's just now with the internet, more people know. And they know in real time. Well, back then, we were involved. We were candidates. We were there talking to these guys, reading their stuff. We knew. We even talked. A lot of these people, we knew. I went to church with a bunch of these congressmen. Yeah. I'm going, look, man, you lying sack of snot. You know, they're like, yeah, but you got to get in, then we'll fix it. So when something like national socialization of the economy comes, we'll stop it. And then they vote for it. I'm going, oh, yeah, thanks for being there, you know, when it really counted. So I'm going, you know, what is it with this contract of America? Because a lot of the guys here in Arizona came in under that. That was J.D. Hayworth and Matt Salmon and John Shattuck and Flake and all that. That was a big, this Republican revolution. They rushed into Congress. And what was the one government job agency, the only thing that they did of all of their contract? Do you remember what the one thing was?
I do.
What was it?
The mining inspector.
Was it mining inspector? No, on the federal
mining inspector.
Is that what it was?
Yep.
I thought, you know,
one job.
The one I remember, it was a tea inspector or something in New York or something. It was one little bitty $100,000+ job that, of course, they sent him over to some other department, whatever it was. But the thing is, that was it. That was it. You know, we did. And then they laugh at you. Yeah, well, you know, they look at you. Yeah, joke's on you. This is their mentality. And they're going to do it again.
That's a good point.
You know, here it comes. They're going to do it. It's a game that they play. And the talking heads, it's they're psychotic. They're sociopaths or something. You know, they don't get it. They convince themselves that they're doing you a favor, promoting the righteous, doing, you know, their O'Reillys. I mean, you know, this is, you know, the Sean Hannity guys. All of a sudden, yes, the Republic, right after the election, the Republican Party has found its backbone. We're healed. We're going to really do it this time. I'm going, wow, are you guys freaking kidding me? So what are you going to do? You know, I know what I do. I don't even vote. Yeah. I'll run for office. You know, I run for office all the time. But they never bring up this I don't vote thing. And it's not a secret. The media does not want me to talk about, are you supporting the system by voting, by participating in the theft on you, by legitimizing them, especially when they're doing all this crap with how they do computer voting and so on. It's a whole other issue. But the point is that they're going, look, we operate on one main thing. It is legitimacy. They lose that, they lose everything.
You know, when we started out, you were talking about Tom Knapp's piece, and he was saying, you know, if you're yelling about the program, that's okay. If you're yelling about the needing of the representatives, a whole different thing. And that's where we are now, and it kind of comes full circle because they've got this Pong game going on where the only players, if you can imagine the old Pong games, the Republicans are on one side, Democrats on the other, and they're just swiping you back and forth. But, you know, they've got people who are arguing. They want the general public to be arguing about the rules, but if you stand up and call BS on the game, you suddenly become a very dangerous animal.
Yeah, and they got their own referees, their own rules. It's their ball. It's their sportscasters. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going, what world do we play? We're the peanut sellers in the crowd, you know, calling BS on the whole thing. Yeah, it's all fun. Yeah, just buy peanuts. I mean, you know, just
That's
you know,
it.
And you call BS on the whole thing, and what happens? They lose their legitimacy. You know, there's an article I wrote back in 94, and it keeps coming around every now and then, you know, it comes up. And you just do it, the illegitimacy of government or legitimacy of, I can't remember what I called it, and Ernest Hancock. You Google that and it'll come up. And the one thing, this whole argument, it goes out between me and another individual. He's talking about Constitution and all this kind of stuff. And it's amazing that as a young man that I understood this, just like these revolutionaries now, I understood one thing. I go, oh, I get it. It's legitimacy.
Mm-hmm.
They seek that above. If it was just force, if it just took M-16s, F-16s, and M1 Abrams, you know, we win. But what did the Romans learn? Conquer is easy, control is not. So what they need is legitimacy. They need you to get, they'll give you an issue that, you know, you're for or against, you're for or against, for them to manage for you, for them to fix, for them. What you really should be advocating is what they're really against is that, you know, I want to be able to grow my own food. You know, I want to be able to sustain my own. I want to be able to, you know, take care of my own health care. I want to be able to, you know, smoke whatever I want. You know, I own this body. This body's mine. And when they start doing this forced vaccinations, we got to get this in. Vaccinations, are they going to make it mandatory? And if they make it mandatory, just how mandatory? I mean, are they gonna hold you down at checkpoints and say none shall pass until you go into a little portable trailer over there and get your shot? I mean, vaccinations. Give me a thing, Barry. What do you think is going
to
happen?
I think they're going to try to make it mandatory, but there's going to be sufficient resistance that it'll just kind of be lowered under the radar. It'll just kind of go away slowly.
What do you think, Mike?
I think Barry's pretty much on point there. I think that, once again, this is an issue that'll generate a lot of backlash. Because when you get down to the final analysis, you have to decide, am I a human or am I a sheep? And when they tell you you have to be vaccinated, they're telling you you are a sheep and we own you.
This realization, this is very simple. Everybody's always going on about where is your boundary? Now, when they start doing door-to-door gun confiscations, when they start dragging my kid off to go fight in some war, when they start on and on and on and on, and I'm wondering how many people are like, okay, well, the government, you can't cross my sidewalk, you know, on my property. Okay, you can knock on my door, but you can't kick it in without a warning. Okay, you can come in, you know, but you can't stop my cat. Is it get to the point to where you can't penetrate my skin with a government elixir in a needle? Can I vote that one? Well, you're going to have to make a decision because here it comes.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Hancock, Barry Hess, Mike Duggar, you're missing all lip syncing going on in here. We like that song. In Constant Sorrow. Yeah, we're having a good time. Now, you know, the thing is, you know, I like that. That's a good song to end on. I mean, we're all the pain, the drudgery. But, you know, we've been doing this a while, and we've been waiting for this time in history since we were in our 20s. We were young men. We're doing this act. We're going, look, we know what's coming. Are we going to be ready? Are the people going to be ready? Are we going to be able to survive it? Can we hurry up and get to a police state so we can leave? You know, I mean, this is and this vaccination thing, man, they did this in 76. So swine flu, same thing.
Right.
3 years later, Mike Wallace does a thing on 60 Minutes and said how it was all a fraud. It's all, and you type that in. Go into YouTube and put in 1976 swine flu, CBS 60 Minutes 79, something like that. It'll come up. And it says, you know, this was all a game and they're doing it again. Why? Well, it worked the first time. Yeah, it'll work the second, the third, and so on.
It worked so well that the vaccine killed something like 25 or 50 times more people than the disease did. So,
well, I don't care about that. You know, I mean,
details.
You know, and the thing is that, you know, when you're talking about the government, you're giving the government the power to tell you what you can or can't do. So what is it that you?
I had a point I wanted to make on that vaccination topic. You know, if they're going to mandate the vaccines, It's kind of the natural progression from the road we went down when they started denying the substances you're allowed to put in your body through the drug war and whatnot. Now we're on the other side of the coin, and they're going to start mandating what will go into your body in addition to denying what can't go into your body. So the government runs your body now.
Now, this is interesting because, you know, we've heard this before, the concept that which is forbidden, you know, is required. No, what was it? You know, yeah. If it's forbidden, you know, you're going to have the man say, you can't do this, and you have to do that. So I'm going, where does government stop? And you go like this, those of faith, you know that they say, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar. You know, Christ holds up his coin. What he was saying, it's got his picture on it. It looks like his, you know. But then they argue that which is Caesar's. And I got to ask a question. I raise my hand really high, and I go, is there anything not Caesar's? You know, is my body mine? Is that Caesar's? Is the product of my body liberty that produces my property? Is that, at what point is it not Caesar's? Well, all Christ was saying, he's going, well, I don't know, it's got his picture on it. Probably is. You know, and they were trying to trick him, and he was being very sly. But that's been bastardized into this concept that everything is Caesar's. Nobody ever asks why anymore. Yeah. They have programmed that out of you. Ask why.
Well, it goes back to the whole idea of the IOUs in California, which I always thought was just horrendously funny because, you know, they're replacing Federal Reserve notes. And what's a Federal Reserve note but an IOU, monopoly money?
How's that working out for us?
Yeah, and you cannot render unto California what is California.
You got a government the way we were at now. I'm telling you, it's in every aspect of your life. That which is not forbidden is required. Yeah, that's how you say it. That which is not forbidden is required. Think about it. Where's your freedom in that? Do you have any left? Well, you know, there's going to be the test on this one. Let me tell you what it's going to be. It's going to be, do you own your life, your body? I put my hand on your shoulder and I said, whose life is this? Well, there's going to be a guy with a badge and a uniform and you know, a clipboard with an embossed seal on it, and he's going to say it belongs to the man. And they're going to take and stick a needle in you and your children. Where's your line? Now, we all have a line. That's a line. I think I got that line. We'll talk about it more next week on Declare Your Independence.